Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that's important because that's based on the truth of God, the love of God, the faith of God, the hope of God, and also the comfort of God in terrible and difficult times like we have been facing recently and we are going to face in the future, that we have the strength of God, that we trust in God, that we know the truth of the prophecies that have been given in the Bible and how that we are living in the end times and God's judgment is coming upon us because of sin, because of iniquity, because we have forgotten God. Now, let's step back for just a minute, and I want to read you from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Because God is the one who gave us this land. God is the one who has given us all the things that we have and that we know of. God gave it to us because of his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And true, we have been given the fairest portion of the earth, like no other nation. So let's see the prophecy of this from the instructions given by Moses to the children of Israel just before they went into the original promised land, the land of Canaan. He allowed them to hunger, but he fed them, he clothed them. Their clothes did not wear out for 40 years, and their shoes did not wear out, and their feet didn't swell. But he brings up the point of correction, because there was a lot of correction that they received in the wilderness because they rebelled against God. Now think of this for a minute. God was directly with them and among them. In the daytime, there was the cloud, cover them from the heat, bring rain to them, give water to them, gave water out of the rock. And at night, a pillar of fire, so they would know that God was watching over them. God's blessing was with them. But you see, even they did not appreciate the closeness of God. So people today say, well, where is God in all of this? That's one question. But one question that should come before that is this. What did God give us, and how did we respond to God? And if we don't respond to God the way that we should, or if we forget God and reject God, then God brings the consequences upon us with correction, with punishment. So here's what God said. Verse 5, you shall consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. And you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. The reason we're to love God and fear him and serve him and keep his commandments is the very land that he has given us. And we look out and see the beauty of it. The great plains, the great agricultural, the great resources, everything that is beneath the ground, everything that is above the ground, where God blessed this land, planted it for us, brought us into it. Verse 7, for the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it, a land in whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig brass. And we can add all the other resources that we have from it. All the oil, all the coal, all of the great things that God has given us to be a great nation. Not so that we can consume it on ourselves, but he gave it to us so that we could take the Bible, the Word of God, to the world, and that we would become a nation where the world would look and say, this is a great nation. Look at their laws, the laws of God. Look at their government, the government of God. Look at their courts, the courts and justice of God. Look at the abundance. Look at the blessing. Look at everything that they have. We were to be that nation. And we were that nation for a while. But notice what he says here. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Do we do that? Well, we've got one day set aside in Thanksgiving, but how about the rest of the days of the year? And should we not be keeping the Sabbath of God? Because he gave us the land, gave us all of these things. See, because as human beings, we forget God, and we take things for granted, especially with the young children growing up today. That's the way it's always been. So here's a warning, and let's see what Israel did with this warning. Did they follow it? Did they heed it? Did they pay attention to it? Verse 11, beware. Are you aware of what God has done? Are you on guard that you don't reject God? Don't look at yourself and say, oh, I'm a nice person. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I haven't done the other thing. That's no big credit to you because God expects that. But do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being? Do you keep his commandments diligently? What is it that your life is? Is it wrapped up in God, or is it wrapped up in self and vanity? Now notice what he says here, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his judgment and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built goodly houses and live in them, and you see all of the homes and houses that we have built, goodly houses, compared to the rest of the world, opulent, because of the blessing of God. But are we thankful? Let's read on. And when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then you become haughty of heart, arrogant, lifted up, narcissistic, that your activities and your good intentions and your life and your business and what you are doing is more important than God. That you forget God. It's like the one man said, I think of God when I go to bed, and I think of him when I wake up, and the rest of the day is mine. And he does whatever he wants. That's how people treat God. That man has forgotten God. You become haughty of heart, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness with fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought forth water for you out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, so that he might humble you and that he might prove you to do you good in your latter end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. And that's exactly what we have done. What was the first thing that was expressed by the governor of New Jersey when it lay wasted? We'll come back with strength. We will do it. We are Americans. We will work hard. Where was the repentance meeting? Where was God in all of this? I'm sure there were those who prayed fervently to God to spare them, and they were spared because God is merciful. But now what are you going to do? Look at all the goodly homes that are destroyed. The most expensive storm, Frankenstorm, just before Halloween. And by the way, what are we doing teaching the lies of Halloween to our children? Got the message? Have we forgotten God? Have we put him behind us? Have we told him to get out of our lives, get out of our government, get out of our churches, get out of our schools? Question. Those of you who had to evacuate, how did you like leaving your home? How did you feel? How about those of you who came back and your home was gone, destroyed, wasted, covered with sand and debris? How did you feel? Were you thankful you were still alive? Did you repent to God? Did you ask God for mercy and kindness to you? Or are you going to be so busy doing what you want to do that you don't even think of God? Quite an indictment. Now we're going to see a national sin that many people are in full agreement with, that is one of the reasons why we have this evil judgment against us, which it is. It is the hand of God. Let's see what we have done. Back here to the book of Jeremiah. I want you to think about how this applies to you, to your community, your state, the people that you know. A lot of them are good, upstanding people in the community. But you see, so were a lot of people in those cities surrounding Sodom and Gomorrah. They thought the same way, but they just put up with this. See? Lot lived in Sodom. He didn't have enough sense to move out of it, so God had to come and rescue him from it. Know that the aggressiveness and oppressiveness of the homosexual community was evident then. When God sent the two angels to rescue Lot, they had the audacity and the sinfulness and the absolute oppressive aggression to come and beat on Lot's door to demand to have those angels for sex, because they look like men, and they thought, oh, these are good men, new flesh. Well, they had a surprise. The angels struck them with blindness, and the next day they took Lot and his wife and his two daughters out, and suddenly it rained fire and brimstone and consumed them. Well, that's going to happen again. It's one of our great sins, sticking our finger to God and telling him, butt out. We will decide what is right. Verse 7, Jeremiah 5. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and have sworn by them that are not gods. When I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery and gathered themselves by troops in a harlot's house. They were like lusty, well-fed stallions in the morning, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. And if that's not enough, you can go to the pharmacy and buy your erectile dysfunction medicine so you can have sex and sex and sex and sex and sex to its fullest. So God says, shall I not punish for these things, says the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Yes, indeed. Oh, yes, we say we're God's nation. Oh, yes, we are good people. We lean on God but reject His commandments. We demand His blessings but do not love Him. We want everything given to us, but we are unthankful and ungrateful. Here's what He's going to judge us for. Here is the greatest sin that we have as a nation. And because it's been enacted into law, a lawless, godless, death-dealing permission to kill the most innocent of life. And yet, in our Constitution, we say, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, guaranteed by the Creator. And so evil, wicked men sitting on the highest court of the land agree to murder, agree to abortion. Now, this kind of thing is nothing new. Let's read it here in Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, and verse 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight. Are we doing evil in the sight of God? Are we going against God with all of our pleasures, all of our lies, all of our abominations, and all of our wicked religious practices? They have set up their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it, right where God placed His name. They defiled it, just like we're defiling the land today. This is God's country. He gave it to us, and we're defiling it, and God is punishing us because of it. They have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command them to do, nor did it even come into my mind. See, at that time, they were more righteous in their killing of their children, so they thought. They took the newborns that they had, and they dedicated them to Moloch. And Moloch was the great idol who had the arms that would reach out. And the priest of Baal in Moloch would have the people come and bring their children in burning sacrifice to the god Moloch. And they would have music, and they would have wine with drugs in it, and everyone would be all soothed. And they were told this is righteous. They were told this was good, an evil abomination to God, to kill and murder your children. But they willingly, fathers and mothers, with pious dedication to put their children in the arms of the god Moloch. And the arms would be brought back by the lever of a priest, and the children would fall into the fire and burn up. Now, whose children were they killing? Today we have abortion, don't we? And we even have those, even in the highest office in the land, that believe in infanticide, who passed legislation that if a child survives an abortion attempt, that no medical help was to be given to that child. And yet, all of these pitifully self-righteous people elect him into the office as some great man, and then wonder, why is our country falling apart? Because of our sins. Let me tell you who you're dealing with when you have abortion. You're dealing with God. because God is the one who created the process of creation within the womb of the mother. And that is a separate and a particular and special creation of God. Now, I want you to go back and go through the segments we have on From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. Why were you born? And I heard a very wonderful ad the other day, because there are some people out there in a society trying to prevent the abortion. But we are committing 1,200,000 abortions a year. And the slaughter of those children, well over 52 million since it was passed as a law. So look at it this way. We don't have the Valley of Hinnom. We have the abortion clinic. That's the temple to Moloch. We have the abortion table, which is the altar. We have the doctor, who is the high priest. And there is the nurse in assistance to scrape out and kill a creation of God right in the womb of its mother, who is so selfish and narcissistic, she doesn't even know what she is doing to her own life and emotions, let alone the killing of that child. So let me read what God says here to Israel again in Ezekiel 16 and verse 20. And you have taken your sons and your daughters, whom you have born to me. They are God's creation. That is an activity of God in your body. And you are a creation of God to do that. And the Father is a creation of God to implant the seed. And it's supposed to be something of love and joy and glory. But it has been turned into death, to abomination, to wretchedness, to killing. A creation of God for the sake of the lust and greed of the mother or the rejection of the father. But these are the children of God. Why do you think we have so many natural disasters now? God is judging us because of our evil in doing that. And yet we have people dedicated to it. We have organizations funded by the government. We have evil, murderous women who supposedly stand up for women's rights, and they want to kill the innocent because they lead innocent, emotional young women to believe that sex is for their pleasure and the inconvenient pregnancy is to be terminated for their narcissistic way of living. And you sacrifice them unto these images to be devoured. Is this your whoredom so small a matter? You have slaughtered my children and have delivered them up and caused them to pass through the fire. And in all your hateful deeds and your whoredoms, you have not remembered the days of your youth. Absolutely amazing that we can say, and there are people who, if you are against abortion, where if you say that this is a creation of God, you are uncaring, you are unloving, you have no understanding, you are politically incorrect, you are religiously incorrect, and yet the judgment of God is coming upon us for all our sins, the greatest of which is abortion. And we wonder why our cities are wasted. Excessive rain brings mold. The reason is we have rejected God. We have forgotten God. That's why. So these things, though they're unpleasant to talk about, must be talked about. And you can't shirk from it. You can't say, "Oh, that is so hard to take." God tells us we must. God tells us we need to repent. So the question is, what will you do? Because it all starts one person at a time. So until next time, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.